Sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Want you to make me feel like I'm the only girl in the world. Like I'm the only one that you'll ever love. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And you know, this show is always geared towards making you sexier and making you happier. And hopefully you're taking all the wonderful tips and advice that you get here from my amazing guests. And this week is no exception. My guest today is Paul Sterling. He's an author. He's an intimacy coach, a certified tantric educator, and the creator of something called the Magical Relationship Method. And we're going to find out something about that. So, Paul, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being a stand for people having better relationships and more intimacy.
Oh, yeah. Listen, if they're not having that, I mean, what's the point? Like, to me, it's like, what are you going to do? You just make a lot of money, you acquire a lot of things, and then you die. First of all, I don't want to die. And second of all, I don't want people to just do that. I want people to have this wonderful adventure in relating as long as they're alive, you know? So it's my pleasure to take that stand. Well, you know, I know that you help people turn their relationships around and expand their amount of love and intimacy, and that they can experience this really on a daily basis. You know that I'm committed to that too. So let's talk a little bit about how you do that. People know pretty much how I do that. My loyal fans, they get a lot from the things that I say, but also from the people that I interview. So let's find out what you have to give people so that they can get a great takeaway today in terms of their intimacy and their connection.
Well, one of the things that I want to talk about is the concept of mastery. And mastery is the art of making finer and finer distinctions in a given area. Like a plumber is a master at plumbing, and a carpenter can be a carpenter. But why not be a master lover? Why not learn, like you teach a lot of distinctions around sex and sexuality, why not take those courses? But also, that's one of the three main pillars that I consider in relationships is your communication is one of them. Your sex life is another. And another one that I'm not going to talk much about is money. Because in dealing with a lot of relationships end because of money issues. But we're going to talk today about communication and making distinctions so that you can use your language to enter somebody else's world and have them enter yours so you can expand the amount of intimacy you feel.
Can I just ask you a question here? If those three pillars, you teach those three pillars, communication, sexuality, and money. To me, they can't be separated. Like, I think they're just so important and they all come from the same. Well, to me, the sex is connected to the speaking. So if I don't have any permission to speak my truth, then I don't have permission for great sex and vice versa. If I don't have permission for great sex, it's probably not going to be that I speak my truth. And to me, money is created out of both. So I just needed to say that because I like that you just put it out there. Like, if I'm not having great sex and I'm not having great speaking, then chances are I'm not doing so well financially.
If you are doing well financially, you're probably not enjoying it, because without great communication and great sex, it's life doesn't seem as rich to me.
You can have a beautiful car, but so what? You're not having sex with it. It's not talking to you. It's not doing anything for you, except it's like surrounding you with something beautiful, but you can't even feel it if you can't feel that wonderful deliciousness of intimacy.
And intimacy doesn't start in the bedroom. It's how we communicate. It's how we make love by doing the dishes and touching each other. And all of that is all foreplay leading to, you know, there's this thing I say that before someone's going to open their body to you, you have to open their heart and their mind. And how do we do that? We do that partly by how we communicate and almost more importantly, how we listen. So that person feels heard, understood, and valued.
Amen. I mean, it's so true. And the other thing is that women, I'm just going to say this, it's an opinion of mine, I don't think it's only my opinion, but women need to be seduced in their mind before they will open their body. So it's all the things you just said. They need to feel listened to. They need to feel spoken to in a certain kind of a way, in a way that's a turn on for them. There's so much more going on. You know that picture, it's been on the cover of various magazines where there's a light switch that shows a man's sexuality and then there's like a dashboard of an airplane, like a control panel that says women have all these bells and whistles and dials and things, and it's kind of true. Like they need to have their mind stimulated, and then I feel like men need to have that too for anything to be sustained. Maybe they could get excited about a good look for a minute, but then to sustain it has to have that kind of communication you're talking about and that foreplay all over the place.
Yeah, and just for a second for your listeners to follow along, I want to send them to my website so that they can download a study guide. And the study guide is designed to give them a basic introduction to what one of my mentors was, a guy named Marshall Rosenberg, who teaches nonviolent communication, an amazing teacher. And that turned my whole thinking about communication around. So if they go to magicrelationship.net/study, they can download it. And as we go through this, I'll reference that material and it will give them some of the five most common mistakes, the four steps to instant intimacy. What are the core principles? We're not going to be able to get into everything today, but we can get into some of it so they can walk away with some tools they can start using right now.
Great. Really good. Okay, everybody, so there you go. Go download that right now so you can follow along as Paul and I speak about this stuff. It's important stuff. I'm stressing that because I'm sure that you've heard it many times from me. Communication is key. And here's your opportunity to follow along in a step-by-step manual. So do it. Get it. Download it now. When you say you were talking about you just kind of rattled off four steps to this and five steps to this. So give us an example of one of those things, one of those steps to things that people are downloading.
All right. So the magic relationship method has three parts. And if I was talking to you about getting healthy, one of the things I would start with is what to stop doing. Like if you're drinking stuff that's no good to drink or eating stuff that's not healthy or smoking, I'd say, you know, if you really want to be healthy, you probably ought to stop doing these things. Well, the first phase of the magic relationship method is there are five communication mistakes that almost everybody makes, but very few people know about. And I can give you some examples of that. So then the second part is bridging the gap between us, the four steps to instant intimacy. There's a method of communicating where you can create intimacy with almost anyone. And then the third phase is where you go to create, there's seven keys to creating a bright future. First, you stop doing damage, then you bridge the gap between you, and then you create a bright future. And so we can dive in, and I can tell you some of the mistakes that most of the listeners are making that, if they stop doing them, they can avoid a lot of pain. And the reason I know about these is because I made them, and I didn't make them just once or twice. You know that expression, like, I only make a mistake once? I made those mistakes so many times, like, I figured out what they were, saw the pattern, and wrote a book about it. So I'll give
you one. That's so great.
And one
that's so great. I mean, it makes you an expert, and it also makes you able to talk about it like it's not just a concept to you. You actually had to change things and live it in order to make a difference to yourself. And once you can make a difference to yourself, then you can make a difference to others.
Yeah. And this is just so that they understand the power of this. I teach this and have for the last 7 years in prison. So I teach anywhere from minimum to maximum security prison inmates. Men and women. I've taught it at Naropa University, so I've taught it to professors and therapists and counselors, and I teach it to at-risk youth, and I teach it mainly to couples that love each other but sometimes hate the way that they communicate because they don't have the right tools and method. And so the five mistakes, and they'll be listed in there, I'll list them off, and then we'll go back, and I'll go in detail into a couple of them. But number one
okay.
is... Number one mistake, case building. So you're either building a case against somebody or a connection with them. In case building, you're using language like right, wrong, good, bad, should, shouldn't. And there underneath it is almost this belief that if I just show them how wrong their behavior is, they're going to thank me and change. Unlikely. The second one is storytelling, and our brain is designed to make up a story around almost everything. If a car is coming at you, are they in the right lane? Are they, you know, fight, flight? Is this danger? Is it not? And what happens, though, in storytelling is we make up stories like they didn't do the laundry or they came home late. That means they don't love me anymore. And you're not going to be able to stop your mind from making up stories. What you do learn is you learn how to bust your stories and reveal them and become more intimate. And I'm going to come back to storytelling because that's one we'll go in depth that people can start using instantly. So that's number
Excellent.
Two, story building.
Storytelling.
Number three is message assuming. Now, this is common. I mean, all of these are going to be really common. They just weren't labeled before. Message assuming, and there's two parts of it. One is when I assume that you're hearing me the way I want to be heard. So an example of that where it doesn't go right is you can say, honey, can you take out the trash? And you look over and all upset with you and you go, what did you hear me say? And they go, I heard you say I never help around the kitchen. Now, the temptation is to go, like, that's not what I said at all. I just asked if you take out the trash. But the important thing here is it doesn't matter what you said. It matters what they heard.
Got it.
And
Very
so
being, clear.
Yeah. And what happens is once you understand this, you end up communicating in shorter chunks and going, especially if it's emotional. You go, honey, can you tell me what you heard me say? Oh, you heard that? Let me try again. When you do this, you never correct somebody. Like if I ask you to repeat it and you say something totally different, I don't go, that's wrong. I go, thank you. That's what you heard? Let me try again. So that's number three, message assuming. Number four is cup stuffing. Now, cup stuffing, if you think about it, if your cup is full, and I don't mean full in the good way, I mean emotionally full. Say you got a flat tire and a speeding ticket and you come home and you're stressed out and your lover says, you know what, honey, it's time we talk about our travel arrangements or the bills or something like that. There's no chance that you can actually hear them because your cup is what?
It's full. It's so full. It has no room for anything.
Right. So what you do is you start learning shorthand and you just ask, is your cup empty or full right now? It's full. When can we actually talk about this? So your chances of succeeding increase exponentially because you're speaking into a listening. There's space. They can hear you.
Mm-hmm. It's great. Really great. I have some other things to add to that, but I'll wait. And five?
Number five is the fatal F's. Fix, fight, flee. Now, when I'm going to talk about masculine energy and feminine energy, and it doesn't matter which body it's in. When the feminine is in pain, the masculine energy wants to, well, it hears it that it's either my fault or my responsibility, so it wants to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
The feminine doesn't want to be fixed.
just wants to be listened to.
Exactly. So there you go. So what happens when if you're in pain and you come to me and I try to fix you, what happens to our intimacy? It vanishes.
And we fight, or I run.
Exactly. And so that's the fix, fight, or flee. First, I try to fix it, and then that doesn't work. I get in a fight. Why don't you listen to me? You don't care what I say. and then we flee the issue and flee any chance of intimacy. And what happens, Marshall Rosenberg said, and it's an interesting thing to say, is intimacy is the ability to enjoy someone else's pain. Now, he wasn't talking about being sadistic. It means, I think he was trying to stir us up a little bit, but I think it's more about being with somebody. If you can be with somebody that's happy, you don't try to stop them from being happy because happy is great. Well, someone who's sad, that's an important part of life too. And you don't try to take them out of being sad. You just be with them.
That's great.
So those are the five things. Any comments, any questions, and then we can dive back into one or two of them.
Well, I have a lot, but we got to take a little break here. I'm going to leave you with this for a moment. I have been with people who couldn't be with my happiness. Just saying. So
yeah,
they tried to take that away too. So sometimes it's a conundrum. We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, we're going to go back to one of them in depth, you said. I think it was two or three. And I have some questions for you about all of them, you know, how people can get into practicing this right away. So we'll save that for after the break. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and my guest today is Paul Sterling. And Paul is an author and an intimacy coach. He has something called the Magical Relationship Method, where he helps people turn their relationships around and expand the amount of love and intimacy they experience and express on a daily basis. And that's why I think it's so important for you to stay tuned to this show. So this is Laurie Handlers. I'm your host, and I'm coming right back with Paul Sterling. Please stay tuned. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers, and today I'm speaking with Paul Sterling. And so far, Paul has given us a huge gift. Like, he's outlined five things that happen in relationships, five ways that we could look at that either could wreck the communication, or if you pay attention to it, you could build communication with your significant other. And he also talked about the energies of masculine and feminine, and he wasn't talking about men and women per se. He was talking about the energies. So, Paul, when we left off, I told you that just I had to say that sometimes people have tried to rob me of my happiness, like they couldn't be with that. I just wanted to know what you had to say about that.
Well, it's like if people aren't comfortable with their own needs and their own wants and desires, they're going to try to suppress other people's. So they'll suppress your sadness if they can't be with that. They'll suppress your happiness if they find that threatening. So it's an internal issue. If they don't work on themselves inside, they're having a hard time being with the external world. Like if you're an empowered, powerful woman, you discover your sexuality or your happiness or something and don't need them. Like there's an evolution on the planet. Women don't need men right now, especially in America or European countries. They might want them and they might not. So it's a shift for the masculine to not be needed but be wanted. And you have to have a strong self-esteem for that shift.
Yeah, you do. That's such an important point. I mean, that could be the big takeaway for the whole day here. Not only did you give us five relationship wrecking communication things, but you now are telling us that as an empowered man, you actually get it that men are not needed right now, and that to be wanted is a whole new paradigm for men to find themselves in and how they're going to deal with that. So, you know, thanks for bringing that up. It's so true. And I think a lot of men are having a hard time with it. A lot of men have lost their balls over it. There's no reason to lose your balls. Just like get it that, you know, men are now the object of desire rather than the object of need. It's so different.
Well, there's a term I teach called powerful vulnerability, and we're used to being on a continuum where either you're powerful or you're vulnerable. But what's attractive now and what's wanted now in relationships is powerful vulnerability. Be able to be with your emotions, and still power is the ability to do, to act, to get a result. So there's a whole new paradigm for masculinity coming out, and femininity. What's it mean? Because there's concepts about surrender, and well, we could dive into that.
We don't have to go there. We don't, because we started with something really powerful, and it might be that I invite you back and we just discuss surrender, you know?
Yeah.
Let's go back to the five things that you meant. There were all communication things. And
they're
they had to do.
There
go
are
ahead.
Communication errors to avoid. I'll list them real quickly, and we'll go back to number two. So number one is case building. So you're either building a case against or a connection with. Number two is storytelling or story busting.
Oh, number yeah, that's three, the one, right.
Message assuming or message clarifying. Number four is cup stuffing. And number five was the fatal F, fix, fight, flee. So storytelling. And this one, you can take it and use it instantly. So I'm going to give you an example. My ex and I, who both taught this, and we had a great relationship. So we're in bed, and on my side of the bed, there's the overhead light, and on her side, there's a small reading light. So one night, I'm going to turn out the overhead light, and I look over at her, and she's like, I can see smoke coming out of her ears. And I go, honey, what story are you telling yourself? Now, that's shorthand for us. It wasn't derogatory. And she just looked at me. She says, I'm telling myself the story that my needs don't matter to you because you get the good light. And when you're done reading with the good light, you turn it off. And I've got to read by this crappy little light. And I got it. I got it. I heard it. Now, if I had the same story running in my head, I'd be pissed and hurt, too. And she got it that I got it. I didn't resist it. I didn't say she's wrong. At the end, though, once she was clear that I had heard and understood and valued her, then there was an opening for her to hear me. And I said, can you hear my story? Now, my story is very different. My story was, if I don't turn out the light, I fall asleep. She's got to get out of bed, go around the bed, or try climbing over me to turn out the light. Then get back into bed in the dark. It's going to wake her up. It's going to screw up her sleep. So I told her my story, and we both laughed. Next night, I go to turn out the light, and I remember her story. So I say, honey, now that I know your story, I'll gladly leave the light on. And she goes, no. Now that I know your story, what? Turn the light out. Now, what changed? Nothing but the story, and it transformed the relationship. So this is about transformation, not just information. If you think about it, if people stop making these five mistakes, it's going to transform their relationship if they can identify it. So when you hear that story, what comes up for you about stories? Have you ever had somebody make up a story about you that wasn't accurate, but they were acting as if it was true?
Oh, yeah, my whole life.
Yeah. So see the power of just having that simple thing where you sit down with your lover and say, you know what, honey? Here's this. I'm upset because I'm making up this story about whatever it is. Is it
for me? I'll give you a couple of common ones for me. People make up a story that I'm too busy and so they can't call me. They don't get that I'm an adult and that if I can't answer the phone, I won't, but that I'll call them back. So instead, they just don't call because they think that they're interrupting me and that I'm too busy for them. That's one story. And another story is that people make up a story that they're not missed, that if I'm teaching a class, an ongoing class, and they just don't come to class, no one will miss them. No one will notice that their presence is missing. And those are ongoing. I mean, those are definitely ongoing in my life. I have to speak to people all the time about that, that they think that they're so nothing that they couldn't possibly make a difference. It wouldn't make any difference if they're just not there that night or that day or whatever it is. Those are very common stories that I face a lot.
There's an impact. And the interesting thing is we behave as if there isn't an impact, but there's an impact of the stories we tell. And one of the ways you can know that you're telling a story is it's almost embarrassing if you sit down with them and actually go to say it. I'm telling myself the story that whatever it is, you know you're getting close to being accurate if you're a little shy of telling your story. But what happens is if you get to tell your story, they get to tell their story. And the reason I'm using the word story is because sometimes we say it's true and we get stuck battling with each other about it versus creating an opening for new ground, an opening for actually intimacy. And there's a silly little acronym there or whatever it is, into me see. Using language, telling our stories is a way for me to reveal who I am, to let you see into me. And the whole idea here is to have a method of communicating that lets you enter my world and just figure out what I'm feeling and needing and what's important to me and what are my values, and also letting me enter your world and reduce the amount of conflict that's in our relationships and on our planet, because there's so much conflict from misunderstandings and miscommunication, and we don't know how to slow it down. And people get desperate when they don't feel heard and understood and valued. Most relationships don't end because of a lack of love. They end because they run into problems that are bigger than their skill set. And often these problems are communication problems. People say it's jealousy or it's money or it's all the rest of that, or it's an affair. But if you have the right communication tools, you can communicate through almost anything.
Exactly. So, you know, it's almost too simple to be true, but it is really at the bottom of everything is the communication. So you've really expressed it well and in a simple and straight way that people can understand. And hopefully they just take that in and then say, how do I go to work on this? And they have your download. Paul, how can people get in touch with you? Because we're winding right into the last minute here. So how can people reach you if they want to get in touch with you? I know you're based in Colorado, but possibly they can come see you there, or they can call you or write you or do Skype sessions or whatever. Let us know.
Well, we do it all. I have a book, and I have MP3s, and I have teleseminars, and they can get coaching. If they have a very important problem, I do one-on-one coaching, and they can get a hold of me at magicrelationship.net. That's magicrelationship.net. And on the website, there's contact information. They can contact my office, get the books, MP3s, or come teleseminars or the workshops.
Paul, thank you so much. I really, you know, you acknowledged me in the beginning of the show, thanking me for taking the stand that I take for people to have happiness and sexuality. And it's clear to me that you have done the same thing. You're coming at it from your own approach, and they overlap. It's beautiful. It's a nice synergy, and I'm really thanking you for taking the stand that you've taken to get people communicating again so that they can have juicy relationships and fabulous lives. So thanks so much.
Thank you. And like you said, sex is just another form of intimate communication.
It sure is. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have, Paul. So thanks so much. Everybody stay tuned. I have another exciting guest for you the rest of this show. We will be right back.
Happy holidays to you. And just in time for the holidays, I want you to know that I've put together some very special offerings on my website, butterflyworkshops.com. When you go to my site, butterflyworkshops.com, and you click on store, you will find some products bundled together that never were offered to you before, like they are now. So what I did was I put together my expanded orgasm series. Instead of you separately purchasing expanded orgasm for her, or expanded orgasm for him, or expanded orgasm for couples, I put that package together and I'm charging you the price of one. So now you're paying a third of the cost for the whole expanded orgasm series. Also, I packaged together oral for her and oral for him. So now those two teleseminars that are digitally recorded are half price. And I have two other things for you. I'm throwing in, absolutely free, the female ejaculation teleseminar if you purchase one or the other package before December 25th. And I have a brand new seminar called Sex Magic, and that too is available at a very, very affordable price. So please consider getting these products for yourself as a gift if you're your own beloved, or giving them as a gift to that significant other in your life and bringing yourselves more transformation through pleasure this holiday season.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lati Han, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lati Han today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lati Han CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Well, we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, your host, and I really hope you enjoyed the last half of the show. about relationships and real great tips, things that you could activate right now in your relationship if you have one, and things that you can activate when you get in one if you aren't in one now. So hopefully that was very happy to you and will add to your sex and happiness. This part of the show is going to really be about yourself, your vital life experience, being your own healer, and how you can heal yourself and your body as a miracle. So my guest is Marcy Jevrio, and she's a vitality expert. She's also a performing artist and dance therapist. She's a master massage therapist. She's a yoga educator and an ordained minister, and she's certified in dance hoop fitness. Her sparkle menu of transformational activities from her latest book, Feel Like Yourself Again, are designed to increase vitality and energy, boost your immune system, and support your long-term health. So, Marcy, welcome back, because you've been on my show before, and it's great to have you again.
Boy, it's great to have your voice saying all those things about me. I'm like, oh, really? Did I do all that?
I know how you feel. It's great when you're edified by someone and you actually get to hear your accomplishments, not just see them on paper. So, Marcy, you have been in the field of helping people become healthy for a very long time. And you're vital. You are vital. Every time I see a new picture of you on Facebook or somewhere else on the internet, I think, wow, this woman is going backwards. She is revitalizing herself and recreating herself over and over again. And my hat is off to you.
Thank you. And it does feel that way to me, Lori. And I finally finished this book that I had been promising to write for people, Feel Like Yourself Again. And I had to go back and figure out, you know, my book coach said, what's the pain? What's your journey? And I went, geez, I'm not in pain right now. But I guess in my 20s, I pretty much abused my body. And when I started treating it better in my 30s, I just figured it was going to stay that way, and I actually didn't think much about it until now at 62. I'm like, okay, it looks pretty good. What have I done? What have I been doing? And so it's also me reflecting back on myself saying, it is a little miracle if you allow the rejuvenation process, nothing to impede it. And you know all about that. You teach transformational topics as well.
And also I'm part of a community that wants to live forever. We all want to live. None of us believe in death. We don't want to die.
We have to live vibrantly. We want quality of life.
Exactly. So we have to reinvent ourselves on a daily basis. And I feel I'm 66. I turned 66 just last week. And I.
That's right. Sad.
I feel like I look better. I feel like I feel better. I know I feel better. I have no pain in my body either. And I had pain throughout my 20s mm-hmm. as well. So we're like on parallel life courses here. It's really important that people know that their body's such a miracle.
Yes, because when I do explain how the body, my specialty is the lymphatic body, which is your body of water, and how much we are a representation of the ocean inside of us. And if we can replicate the ocean and the fluid dynamics of nature, we're so harmonized, all of our internal cleansing mechanisms, I like to call it the water filtration stations and your sewage treatment plants, is what I really specialize in. And certainly on our body planet, those are important things to take care of.
Yes, absolutely. So we're right into it then. Like how
suddenly, well, I,
you know,
work
it. How would people take care of this? You know, how would they get their vitality back if they paid attention to their drainage systems and if they paid attention to the body of water inside themselves?
First of all, just remember that the body of water that you are, how does it usually respond? And if you think of your body as a bathtub with soapy clothes in it, that you can't really dig your hands into the soapy clothes, but you could affect them by sloshing them around, you can do a little washing machine type of thing to your entire system by shaking. Shaking.
Oh, yeah.
Thing are the primary ways to what I call shake the muddy bucket. And my favorite thing to use, instead of a trampoline, which are great, and people do sell them as lymphocytes and rebounders are supposed to be great for your fluid body and all that. Guess what? Doing anything that's anti-gravity is going to help your fluid body, because your body of water affected by gravity, everything trying to fall down to the fingers and the toes, as soon as you counteract that by bouncing, gravity, no gravity, gravity, no gravity, gravity, no gravity, you get a sports ball, $20. Sit it in your house, bounce on it, use it as a chair, put your feet on it when you're sitting on the couch, put your feet on it and do what I call 2-year-old tantrum. Put your feet on it and go bang, 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 bang your legs on it. That stimulates all the fluid in your legs, takes care of the achiness in your legs. My favorite exercise to give people, bounce on the ball, laugh, and move your arms like a chicken wings. So now you are moving your cardio, your lymphatic, your fat burning, joy level. And guess what? If you're sitting on the ball, you're sitting on your pelvis. And we know as tantricas that your pelvis is the core of all your energy. People like to call it sexual energy. It's kundalini energy. It's people call it sexual energy, but it's that vital force, energy, that instigates all life in your body. And it starts at the bottom of the spine, which if you're sitting on that fun little sports ball, you're actually invoking not only your physical body, but your subtle body, your central nervous system, your lymphatic body, all of your existences, all the dimensions of yourself are kind of pinpointed on that ball. And I just think it's such a versatile place to start and to have fun. The point of what I like to teach people is the art and science of rejuvenation is natural within you. And you just unleash it within yourself and you recreate yourself, recreate.
That's great. It's really great. I'm going to say something else. You're going to think this is naughty. I don't think. You'll think it's naughty, but people may think it's naughty. And that is, having sex on that ball is good too.
Oh, listen, sex is when people say to me, how can I get more energy? Well, the lymphatic system and all your circulatory system depend on you breathing deeply. So laughter yoga is my number one activity to do. Now, that being said, if you've got a partner and you start laughter yoga, perhaps you could go into orgasmic or ecstatic.
Exactly.
Then, yeah, absolutely, having an orgasm on your own or with a partner, using the breath to invoke. Because guess what? God, goddess, brain, cosmic, creative intelligence that she, he is, put the diaphragm exactly where we need to stimulate the digestive system, the heart system, the lymphatic system. So when you do this breath, ha, 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 and you make the sound, then you can do a lot of things. And if you allow your unconscious to come in and play with that, that's one of the things I call on my sparkle menu. When I work with people, I work with a menu of possibilities, and I call it a sparkle menu because we can do tickle me pink, which is dry skin brushing, or we can do rocket fuel, which is that tantric breathing from the pelvis up to the head. Or we can do very simple, gentle sinus clearing for the lymphatic system in the head. I have so many things in my bag of tricks. But the point is that your body is an intrinsic system of rejuvenation, and you tapping into it and listening to it is one of the easiest things you can do for preventative maintenance. My mom calls it enlightened self-interest, and you and I call it agelessness, right?
Exactly. And actually going backwards.
Yes, because as you deaccumulate, you rejuvenate and reinstall and have a chance to not put the dirty water back in, but squeeze that dirty water out and start with something clean again and invoke the possibility of newness. And we've seen amazing types of rejuvenations happen all around us. We know that it's not just a physical reality that we're living in. I'm a skeptic from the beginning. I have a background in chemistry and science. I was the top female science student in my high school. And so I have a deep understanding of the scientific and physiology basis of the body-mind system. And I was raised in Christian Science.
Oh.
So I have firsthand knowledge of prayer working.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Prayer works. And it doesn't do everything.
Right, exactly. We need to take charge. We may not be able to control things, but we need to take charge of things and then watch the miracles happen when we do take charge of things. Now, I have a couple of things to ask you about, and then I want to, we're going to take a break, and then I want to talk about your book some more, you know, really some specifics about the book. But I'm taking organic sulfur now.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the man that sent it to me, well, one of my medical intuitives said, you must take this. And the man that sent it to me, like, guaranteed things up and down and sideways. And all I know is that I'm having better sleep, way better dreams, and anything that seems to go a little off, like a little cold or a little cut or a little something, seems to heal within half the time.
Well, the sulfur, I think, is also contained in MSM, right? Is also a sulfate derivative. And what we've discovered is on the soil, we have debilitated the sulfur. And we really need that for cellular exchange in our system. Exactly. And so that's why what happens is the electrolyte exchange at the cellular level starts to happen. It perks up. It percolates. It has more availability. There's more charge going through your system. So digestion, assimilation all happen. Rejuvenation, that happens better.
That's great. Okay, I just want to know your take on that.
People have asked me what's my training, and I, after describing my philosophy, I've been told that I'm more like a naturopath.
Yeah, yeah. But you're a naturopath not because you went to school to become a naturopath. You're a naturopath because you've experimented with your own body and your own joy.
Yes.
And your own systems. You're like a self-made expert.
Well, my mom calls it, you're the rat in your own laboratory. She's afraid.
Okay, let me ask you a couple other quick things. Coffee enemas. What's your take on coffee enemas?
Coffee enema. I love coffee enema because this is where your peristalsis gets a kickstart. Your natural peristalsis is the way that semi-solids and fluids move through your body. So your sewage treatment plant, your water filtration plant will all benefit from you having better peristalsis. The colon is the garbage disposal switch to the entire body, and it's where I begin in self-massage in my melting touch method, which is featured in my book, Feel Like Yourself Again.
All right, this is great. I don't discuss it with people very often, but I want you to know that in the 70s, I started doing coffee enemas, and I read Betty Dodson's first book.
Oh.
At that time, was called Liberating Masturbation. Uh-huh. Since that time, Betty renamed it and repackaged it, and it's called Sex for One.
Uh-huh.
And she said to pleasure yourself while you had coffee in you. So, because for many people, enemas were traumatic.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that technique since 1972.
Well, the great thing about doing that is you're also stimulating that undulation that would happen through the vaginal contraction of stimulating the G-spot or the clitoris, whatever might work for you, the G-crest. So if you're stimulating your G-crest area, then that'll help the anal sphincter engage as well. And that will kick in peristalsis of the colon. And so it all totally makes sense.
Yeah.
It's all part
I'm
of pelvic
so glad
floor.
To...
Yeah. And remember, Mula Bandha is called the master lock. And where does it begin? Right there in these three sphincters. As you and I know, Vajra Mudra is for the clitoris. And then you have Aswani Mudra is for the sphincter. And all of these pulled together is what's going to create that great tension and release in the lowest part of the pelvis. And I have to say, this is my secret agenda. Get some health into the black holes of our body where we're not allowed to talk, we're not allowed to touch, we're not allowed to discuss or give anybody access to our three black holes, our pelvis, where our reproductive organs and our ass lets out our waste product, okay? This is a super important place. The last exit to all solid waste material needs to be honored and empowered so that all that activity can get out of you as quickly as possible.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about your book, feel like yourself again. Yes. I think it's a great topic, and we're going to talk more about it. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Marcy Javril, and Marcy is an expert. She is her own science experiment, and she wouldn't do anything to you that she wouldn't do to herself. Okay. And she looks great and feels great, so you want to know what she knows. So we'll be right back.
For weeks now, you've been hearing me talk about the Eroticost Film Festival and my film Beyond Dinner winning the award for the best short film. And you've been hearing me talk to all these guests that I met while I was there. And you haven't heard that much about the dinner, although in the show I did with Dr. Ava and Nancy Sutton Pierce, we did talk about what was in my film. I want to let you know that the film is about a ritual dinner that I invented called the Gate dinner. Gate means beyond in Sanskrit. And it's a very sensual 8-course dinner that starts with the forbidden, starts with dessert, and leads its way back around to other foods. But all the foods in the dinner are very, very sensual, very beautifully prepared, and the presentation is amazing. And in this dinner, aside from everybody projecting themselves through a meditation that I do to their highest self, having had boundary exercises prior, the men rotate around the table and they feed various goddesses, all the goddesses that are around the table. And even if you come there with a partner, the partner lets go, doesn't take things so personally, lets the partner rotate around and have a sensual experience with each person that's participating. In this case, it would be men having a sensual experience with different women and then working their way back to their original partner. If this piques your curiosity and interest, I want to let you know that these dinners are now available to you wherever you are in the United States. And what you need is 20 people who would like to participate, and you can get in touch with me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com if you'd like to host a dinner like this in your part of the world. I would love to come to your and offer one of these dinners to you and your friends, and I know my chef would love to come too. Also, Antonio Tiggs, who you've heard on the show as well, would love to come and paint your servers. So your servers are all gold or all silver or what have you. So we have a little entourage that would like to come and make this such a memorable event for you. Please get in touch with me if you'd like to hear more about it and talk about the details. That's sexandhappiness@gmail.com.
We're back from break and you're listening to Sex and Happiness. And today I'm speaking with Marcy Javril. And Marcy's written a book called Feel Like Yourself Again. And it's basically on how to heal and recover from injuries, surgery, and illness. But I'm going to take it further and say that really this is for everyone, for self-renewal, for anti-aging, for prevention. Even if you don't have something, you know, that you're recovering from life. You need to do these things. And Marcy and I are just talking about some of my favorite things, and she's giving me the green light on everything I already know to do, and she knows so much more. So that's where we're going with this. Now, Marcy, I have one more question, which is about bioidentical hormones. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I had an early menopause because my periods were really short and I had no pregnancy. So I ended all my periods at 48. And what I did after my hot flashes, I went to an acupuncturist and got some herbs a couple of different times over a couple of years. But then eventually I went to bioidenticals for a couple of years. And when I stopped those, I found out later on, about 8 years down the line, I needed them again. So I'm using them internally on my internal jade garden, which makes it very nice and yummy like it used to be in my 40s. Fabulous. Fine with me. But I use a company that I really trust because they take the levels of 12 hormones, not just a blood test. Right. So I would talk about them, you know, just as you really want to research how you're getting them, who you're getting them from, and how they're going about measuring what you should have.
You know, maybe we'll do a whole show on that. So
That's a whole different expertise. I turned to this company for it.
Okay, well, we'll leave it there and we'll move. That was my last question. I couldn't get it in before the break.
Okay.
So let's talk more about the book, Feel Like Yourself Again. I love the title. Tell us what some of the chapters are. And I know that you have a sparkle menu. So yeah. give us a taste of some more of the menu.
Well, the reason I wrote the book was because when...
Uh-oh, stop. Marcy?
Because I feel like myself again. How can I like really...
Wait a minute, wait, stop, stop. You have to start that whole paragraph again. The reason I wrote the book was...
Oh.
Yeah, it went totally out. You went out, you cut out. Yeah, me neither, but that's technology and it happens sometimes. That's what, you know, that's just what happens.
Is it because I'm not on a hard wire to my internet?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but just start again. I'm going to count you in 5, 4.
Where am I going?
The reason I wrote. Okay, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, go.
Yes, the reason I wrote the book Feel Like Yourself Again is because when I was teaching massage in the massage school system, I taught people how to move the mucus and the colon and the lungs and the head, and then they would say, well, what about the rest of my body, and shouldn't I be doing something nutritionally, and what about meditation? And it just seemed like there was a comprehensive approach to getting healthier instead of just doing massage. And so when I chose the title, my book coach said, what is the question people want to have answered over and over when you are giving them your expertise? And I say, they want to feel like themselves again. And what does that mean? Well, it means I want to feel young again. I want to feel deaccumulated. I want to feel free of restrictions. And how do you do that? Well, there's a piece by piece to it. And chapter 7 is my favorite chapter. I call it Sparkle Activities. And it has to do with really cleaning up your act. And the first thing is to counteract gravity with things like laughter, yoga, and relaxation. And another thing to do is to cleanse your ENT, clean your neck and your chest and your throat by gargling and by facial steaming. And so there's a lot of little different steps in hygiene. But the point is...
Marcy, I got to stop you for a second. Hold on. Something's going on out here.
That's
just
strange.
A minute.
Okay.
Just a minute. You guys, I'm doing a radio show. Could you just like step out the door? Thank you. It wasn't you. There's somebody at my door. My sister didn't like either bring him in or go out. So like all I could hear in the background was them, and that might be on the show.
Oh, so where do you want to start? Do you want to start back further?
Yeah, let's just start that whole segment again. The part about the reason I wrote the book. I'm so sorry.
Don't worry, like I have it memorized. The reason is always the same.
Okay. All right, go ahead. Start again. Go.
Well, the reason I wrote the book, Feel Like Yourself Again, is because when my book coach asked me, what is the question that all of your people ask you over and over again? What is your conversation 101? What's the thing that people want the answers to, your FAQs? And I said, well, they all want to feel like themselves again before they were sick or before they discovered they were injured or before they had problems thinking. They want to feel back to zero, back to neutral again. And so I had discovered that I had some of these answers from my own experience. But chapter 7 is my most favorite chapter in the book, and that's where I go over the 7 steps for detox that really do detox the fluid body.
This sounds great. This sounds wonderful. Yeah. Go. What is it?
Yes, the fluid body, which is your water filtration stations and your sewage treatment plant. And the 7 steps for detox is, number 1 is to decrease stress. Number 2 is increase waste elimination. 3 is daily exercise. 4 is good hydration. 5 is your skin detox. 6 is your ENT saltwater cleansing. And 7 is counteracting gravity. If you do those 7 steps, even if you just do 1 a day, you start to find out. I give you really simple ways to do them. In Chapter 5, you can download my top 30 favorite toys and tools to accomplish these 7 steps in a really easy way by wearing things like acupressure massage insoles, using a dry skin brush, as I mentioned before, getting a sports ball. So if you have a sports ball and you're putting it in your living room, then you can use that as a chair, and you can also, when you sit on your chair, you can use it as a footrest, which is really important. It's another easy way to counteract gravity. And really, my approach is to make it easy. Make it child's play. And if it's not easy, you're not going to do it. So I'm very not task-oriented.
This is really good, because a lot of people, they find out what to do, and then it becomes daunting.
Yes, and that's right.
And they get scared, and then they won't do it. So this is you're making it so simple.
So simple, because you just insert some of these sparkle activities into your life. So you find out that when you rinse your mouth this morning, it feels so good that maybe you'll do it again tonight. Or you'll decide to do that dry skin brushing in the morning, and it feels so great, it'll start happening every day. And so what if you leave it out one day? No big deal. Every day you do something to sparkle is another point to deaccumulate the accumulation of stress and toxicity in our bodies, where we can't change our oil filter. We can't change our radiator fluid, right? Those internal organ functions need to be constantly cleaned, and yoga and breathing and massage and exercise is the natural way to have those happen.
I think it's really great. Now, do you cover anything about emotional release?
Absolutely. So part of the reason we have accumulation in the physical is that we have it in the emotional. My point in the next book I'm writing, which is called Age Less, Be More, The 5 Keys to Rejuvenation. Those 5 keys are breath, awareness, movement, intention, and sound. Sound is the key to your emotional release and is the one that's the most hidden and taboo in our expression. So sounding during your movement, during your touching, during your breathing, we know that that is a very integrative way to move stuff and transform it. And I have an exercise I call the incinerator that would remind you a little bit of dynamic meditation from Osho. And it's really just a simpler way to get out what's in there. And I have a lot of people who want to go through a cleanse, and they're so disgusted with their body, and they just want it to go away. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to touch it or anything. And I say, look, let's take those leaves and energetically scramble them up together and burn them and appreciate them for the fertilizer that they create. Because that's the transformation. And my teacher, Fatima, who is a Brazilian medium, said it's not bad energy, it's just misplaced energy.
Exactly.
So when the energy of the tree is that's blocking your river is transformed into ash and turns into fertilizer down the road, where now you can have the nitrates and sulfates your body needs. Now it's useful energy. So that's what we ask. We ask for the energy to be transformed, and that's the emotional release of sound. For some people, they think that that's primal screaming and that it's going to make it worse. Not if it's done in consciousness. And this is what you and I are advocating as yogis, that let's do all of this, but within consciousness, so that it's not just a blind following the pattern, following the template. I did this for 10 minutes and why isn't it working? Right?
One of the things I say to people, and you reminded me of it before, which is why I said this about emotional release, you know, I say to people, just like you brush your teeth at night before you go to sleep, mm-hmm. and you didn't eat anything all night while you were sleeping, but when you wake up in the morning, you have to brush your teeth and floss them again.
Because there's accumulation.
Exactly, and you have to do the same thing with emotions.
That's right.
There's a big slush fund of accumulation of emotions from years and years of being stuck, of being traumatized, of agreeing to things you didn't want to agree to.
Well, and also, as I said at the top, is that's one of the most taboo expressions, is to yell out loud or to strike out or to say something.
Emotional release is so important, and you're saying it and I'm saying it. I've said it a gazillion times.
Yes. Well, and there's a really simple way that I love to give people, as I call it, I was born this way. It's on my Sparkle menu, which I said a few of those things before, Rocket Fuel, Tickle Me Pink, Teeter Totter, which is partner yoga, kind of Thai yoga and partner massage if you have a partner. Anyway, I have a lot of things that I teach people if they come in privately or if they come in by Skype or if they invite me in. I bring people into a vitality experience of themselves. And the way I do that is by incorporating everything, and especially in sound, in a playful way. You can use your breath by playing your body like an instrument. Pretend
right.
that your body's an instrument and take in the breath and go, ho, 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 and then go, hee, 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 and take each vowel sound and kind of run up and down the flute of your body and the tones you can make, and then orchestrate. And I'll tell you, because I'm a dance therapist, and I know that everything we do that takes us out of the conscious mind and the ego mind into the unconscious mind is going to be therapeutic and transformational. This is a great way to bypass the ego mind who says, I'm sound silly, that's not what I mean, that's not okay to say, I don't want to feel in pain. There's an ego mind that won't let you be in pain because it's not okay.
Right.
But guess
right.
what? You need to acknowledge that. And if you can, in a playful way, and let that pain be part of the board of directors of your life so that you don't have to always elect that one president, but let him speak.
And plus it informs you. It tells you what maybe not to do again or what to do more of or
Absolutely.
What to do less of. So,
in fact, my mentor in myofascial release, John Barnes, said that that's in fact what he found out, was he had a pain in his back that he couldn't get rid of. And when he finally did get it released in a myofascial situation, he had this memory of his dad always like telling him he's bad and he couldn't do better and da-da-da-da-da. So at one point in his life, when the energy came back, the pain came back in his back, he said to himself, red flag, am I saying to myself what my dad used to say to me, you can't do that, you're not good enough. And he acknowledged the pain as a thank you. And this is what it can do, is it can be a red flag in your world instead of ignoring it. Say, thank you for reminding me that bunion is getting worse and I need to give up my favorite boots and go out and get orthopedics.
Well, Marcy, this has been, you know, you are a wealth of information. This has been incredibly helpful.
Oh.
I think it's a perfect time for people to hear this
in their
lives. Oh, could I just say
one thing? You can get that Chapter 5 if you join my newsletter, yogaoftouch.com. Please come to yogaoftouch.com, and you will get Chapter 5, which is my top 30 toys that I keep in my living room, including the ball, the herbs, the facial things, the salts, all the things
That's
I recommend
great.
Are in there.
Now, how else can people get in touch with you besides going to this and getting Chapter 5?
Yes. Come to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ Marcy Javril, MARCIJAV, like Victor, RIL. Marcy Jevril, and I have a lot of wonderful free videos with hooping and self-massage and how to fix your knees and how to sparkle more in your life.
Well, this is wonderful, Marcy. Thank you. I know this will make a difference in people's sex and happiness, because when they feel better, they'll be happier. When they feel better, they'll have better sex. So thank you so much. Everybody, please tune in next time when I'll be speaking to a couple that has an amazing open relationship. I learn from them, and I'm hoping you'll learn from them too. I've never met two people like this before. So this is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Lori's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to make-